William Shakespeare posed one of the great questions of all time when he wrote, "What's in a name?" Our name is everything. I'm talking about more than just the words that appear on our driver's license. I'm talking about our identity, our reputation. As we read in the book of Proverbs, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. All of us strive to earn a good name. When we do something wrong, we can expect that name to suffer. Companies and businesses do the same thing. Their existence depends on people having a favorable impression of them. For example, given a choice, I'm going to take my business to the company that I believe is most honest and reliable, the company that stands behind their products, that has a good reputation. I would rather not deal with the company that was the subject of last week's expose on 60 Minutes. Probably want to avoid them for a while. When a company has a strong name, they will then do all they can to protect that name. And this is what they refer to as their brand. A strong brand makes a business more recognizable. We only have to glimpse the logo of certain companies, and immediately we can make a whole host of associations with that company. There's Nike's swoosh, or McDonald's arches, or Apple's apple. A brand has value, and other businesses, well, they may try to utilize that brand for their own profit, and we tend to look down on that. Most obviously, we see this in knockoff goods, your fake Louis Vuitton bag or those imitation Ray-Ban sunglasses that you can find at a flea market. But less obvious, there are infringements on the brand, such as a company that creates a product that kind of resembles an existing product, or a company that creates a name that kind of resembles an existing company name in order to trade off the goodwill of the other company's brand. There have been many trademark cases over the years over such infringements. For example, a couple of years ago, the U.S. company 3M, you all know 3M, they make Scotch tape and other stuff, they brought suit against the, now listen carefully, the 3N company of China for trademark infringement. 3N was accused of copying the 3M logo and their color palette, and they were selling the same sorts of goods as sold by 3M. And this case went to court in China, and the Chinese court hearing the case found in favor of 3M and forced 3M to pay $500,000 in damages. Another case, not quite as big, Starbucks. Starbucks sent a cease and desist letter to a brewery in St. Louis for selling Frappuccino beer. Sounds nasty. The brewery complied and stopped calling it Frappuccino beer. Companies take actions like this all the time to protect their brand, to protect their reputation. They don't want someone doing something negative that might be associated with them and would draw down their brand. For example, you know the giant delivery company, United Parcel Service, UPS. They've got those big brown trucks that they use to bring Amazon packages to your house. Did you know that these trucks, which are made exclusively for UPS, are never sold to the public? They are destroyed when they come to the end of their life. UPS does not want their very recognizable trucks on the streets unless they are driven by their drivers. Because imagine the terrible publicity if a secondhand UPS truck were to crash into a school bus or something. And since these trucks are central to their brand, UPS made that decision that in the long run, it's just better to get rid of the old trucks, not to have them out there. Our reading for today opens with a statement about brands and branding. In it, one of the disciples points out to Jesus that he and the others have witnessed someone casting out demons. And they're doing it in Jesus' name. And the disciples were not at all pleased about this because apparently this man had not secured the rights to use Jesus' name in that manner. He was violating the disciples' trademark. By performing this exorcism in the name of Jesus, he was encroaching on the business space that the disciples assumed was limited to them alone. They alone, they assumed, represented Jesus. The disciples informed Jesus that they had tried to stop this man for the simple reason that he was not following us. Jesus tells them they should not have done that. After all, this man is doing God's work. Jesus says to them, "No one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me." In other words, there is this residual effect to doing good works in Jesus' name. This conversation between Jesus and the disciples is the continuation of a much longer discussion, one that we've been looking at for the past 3 weeks. The group appears to be where we left them last week. They are inside a house in Capernaum. And if you will recall, Jesus and the disciples had returned to Capernaum from being on a preaching tour north of Galilee. When they were together, alone in this house, Jesus turned to them and asked, "So, what have you been arguing about?" Because, yes, on the road traveling, they had been arguing with one another. And they don't fess up. They don't answer Jesus. And he knows that they have been arguing about which one of them was the greatest among the 12. Jesus reminds them then that in God's kingdom, greatness is measured differently than what they are used to. In God's kingdom, the first will be last and will be servants of all. Then Jesus takes a small child, takes him into his arms, and tells the disciples that if they accept even a child in his name, they are accepting him. But back to the guy casting out demons. If you think about it, casting out demons, that's a big deal. It's an impressive display of power. Try it sometime, you'll see. Whoever can control demons has claimed to some serious credibility. And while the disciples are fixated on greatness, Jesus points out that even the smallest act in his name, that's sufficient. And he talks to them about a cup of water. And really, when you think about it, a cup of water, that's about the least you can do for someone. If they're thirsty, you give them a cup of water. It costs nothing. There's no preparation or work involved. Just hand a cup of water to somebody. And if you don't even have a cup, you can use your hands. And yet, as small an act as this is, it's sufficient. That little act performed in the name of Christ, it is sufficient. I think about how on this coming Saturday, we as a church are going to gather together in the fellowship hall and package meals. And these aren't gourmet meals. They're simple meals. Rice and vegetables and some soy. It will be sufficient. Since our reading today is a continuation of that passage from last week, then presumably Jesus is still holding on to that child. It's not clear when he sets the child down, but I like to imagine that he's been holding on to it all week, or a verse as it really is. And that seems to be the case, because in our reading for today, he makes reference to these little ones. But now these little ones are not necessarily children, but those who are new to the faith, those who are immature in their beliefs, those who are most vulnerable to being misled. It is at this point that Jesus begins speaking in great hyperbole, and he talks about stumbling blocks. Now, a stumbling block is a term for anything which might cause someone else to trip as they move along the road of faith. If anyone should do anything that would cause even a child to stumble in their faith, then Jesus says the consequences are going to be dire. You would be better off being thrown into the ocean with a huge rock tied around your neck than to cause even a little one to trip. Jesus offers more examples using this hyperbole. He says if your hand causes you to stumble, you'd be better off just cutting it off and going through life with one hand than you would going to hell with two hands. And he says the same thing about feet and eyes. If your foot or your eye causes you to stumble, you would be better off losing one of these than experiencing the torment of hell. This conversation that we have, it began back with the discussion about greatness. And Jesus teaches that greatness is not a measurement in God's kingdom. Service is the measurement. And the disciples, they're threatened by someone casting out demons in Jesus' name because they believe that their greatness is threatened by this, that their brand is somehow being diluted by others doing work in the name of Jesus. And again, Jesus tells them that it is not the grandiosity of the act, but the heart of the believer. A cup of water given in the name of Christ is as great as the most spectacular miracle. But heaven help you if you do anything that would cause someone who is vulnerable in their faith to lose their way. Now, for the disciples, they have a stumbling block, and it's their own sense of self-importance and elitism. It is their close proximity to Jesus that leads them to believe that they are greater than anyone else. They feel that they and they alone are the owners of the Jesus brand, that they are exclusive because of this and somehow better. This reminds me of an old story. It's about a family from New York City. They bought a ranch out west, and they intended to raise some cattle out there. Some friends from the city came out to see how it was going and looked around and says, "Well, have you named your ranch yet?" And the would-be cattleman said, "Well, I wanted to name it the Bar J. My wife, she favored the Susie Q." Now, my oldest son, he liked the name Flying W, and the other son wanted the Lazy Y. So we've compromised. We're calling it the Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y Ranch. And the visitor then said, "Okay, well, where are all your cattle?" And the prospective rancher replied, "Well, none survived the branding. So finally, that makes me wonder. If we were branded with the brand of Christ, would we survive the branding? And the answer is no. We would not. We would die. We would die to our old selves and become a new creation. That new creation will then have a great responsibility to faithfully represent the brand of Christ to the world. As those branded in Christ's name, we must conduct ourselves in a way that doesn't cause others to stumble or to lose faith, that doesn't seek greatness, but instead seeks servanthood, that embraces the little ones instead of seeking out just the strong and the powerful. So it is my prayer that each of us be willing to humbly and faithfully wear the brand of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.